Okay, good evening. We're on Tzurba Mirabanan Hal Orachayim, the Shir 6. We're still on Tzitzit. So tonight, the topics really that we're going to cover tonight are putting on Tzitzit, rather proper Tzitzit, a talis and a Tzitzit katan. The brochas that we make. What happens if it falls off, for example, the Hesech Adat, or in the meantime you like lost concentration and the things we're going on. And then the minimum size of Tzitzit. Actually, for those purposes, I've brought a tape measure. Right? And we'll say, I mentioned to some people, I think, yesterday in the Daf Yomi Shira, some interesting stuff coming up, which is going to cause, and me, definitely a change in my behavior. But I want to say again, you know, like I've said before, I mean, even though it's a halacha shir, I'm certainly not a posek and not passing halacha. But I think the one thing is, from learning halacha shirim, as opposed to learning Gemara, for example, is that if you're learning halacha, and you suddenly learn halacha, and it's different to what you understood beforehand, the idea is that the next day you put it into practice. All right? You don't just learn the halacha and just carry, oh, well, that's the halacha, and carry on.
There's like an evolution of halacha.
Okay, I agree with you. I'm not suggesting, again, to look at the chumras or look at the kulas. And if you've been doing a certain thing, or if we've been doing something in a certain way, and there is an opinion like that, so don't go and change your opinion. And we'll see it coming up in a moment, something which applies to me particularly. But I think there is, for example, okay, I'll give a spoiler over here. Let's just jump the gun for a second. You know, you don't have to, there's no order here. This is not a lochra mushroom. You see now the order. So if we can go quickly and just look at the case over here. In fact, at the end, more or less towards the end, or not, question of covering your head when you daven. Okay, so I don't know how people here cover their heads when they daven. Can I put the tallis over there when they daven? Okay. So, no, like putting it like kara kushmonai, shall I say, or davening with covered. Right? So it seems that it is pretty acceptable to all the poskim that a married person should cover their head when they daven with a talis. The machloket is, where do you cover your head with a talis? So we'll see that the Shulchan Aruch says, Shulchan Aruch says that you cover your head during the whole of davening. Look at that on page 201. I jumped forward for a second. We'll go back. Don't worry. We'll make it up in proper order. It says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes over there, Shekisui zeh machnir lev adam. The Shulchan Aruch says you cover your head while davening. Why? We'll see that there's different reasons why you cover your head. It's not only because of making a brocha, because of atifa. We'll see that in a second. But there's an Indian to cover your head covered when you daven. So Mishnah Berurah says, why does the Shulchan Aruch say so? 201 there. He says there on page 201, "Sheyikisui zeh machnir lev adam umeviyoli day yirat shamayim," because it humbles you and it brings you close to the fear of heaven when you're diving with your head covered. Right? On that, the Bach says, and therefore, "Tzarich sheyatali arusho mitchatat filat sofo," from the beginning of that till the end, "va'akol panim yamod ken mutaf levachot kedai hiluch dalet amod." And the minimum says that the Bach, you should at least for dalet, when you make a brocha, keep your head colored for how long it take you to walk dalet amud. Okay, you know what? I've found a kula now, which maybe you can not change. You know what? You help me now. Not me. I say maybe this Bach says that you should cover it the whole time, but at the very least, you should have it covered for the least amount of time it will take you to walk 2 meters in the morning. So make a brocha and keep your head covered. Everyone takes you to walk 2 meters. But that is the Bach. However, now look here, quotes they bring over here that Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, right? Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, who just died recently, was a very, very, very big posek in Jerusalem. He was the son-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he was an amazing person, because Shlomo Zalman, besides being on the Beit in Yerushalayim, he was a big Talmid Chochem, was a gadol, except for everybody. He's one of the few people, you got like Asher Weiss, like so very few people who are acceptable to everybody, who give Shimon Yeshivot Hezder in Haredi Yeshivas. No, one of those specific guys. He was called the Garzan. That was his name. The Garzan. Garzan means an axe. The Garzen is an axe. Hagaon Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. Hagarzan. That's how he was known about. At Eretz Chemda, they'd come and every Sunday they'd be at Eretz Chemda, and they'd say, the Garzan's coming today. The Garzan. Right? That was his name. So he says over here, in a tshuva of Maria Bazak, which is a tshuva put out by Eretz Chemda. You know, if you look in Torah Titbus, they've always got the question of the week. So that's put out there by Eretz Chemda from Maria Bazak, right? That's what it is. So it says there's noting that others cut your breath over their heads only in the beginning of Birkat Kriyat Shema. At the beginning of Kriyat Shema, why? because of the accepting of Malchut Shemakut of Kabbalat or Malchut Shamayim. So because, like the Mishnah Berurah says, it's maybe all your day Yirat Shamayim, so when you're about in the Kabbalat or Malchut Shemayim, the fear of the Elkan Heaven on you, Shmir Krishma, cover your head with a talus. That's his opinion over there, right? There's a third custom, he says, but that's only during the Shmona Esrei. And then he quotes there from sources, he quotes the who don't agree with the Bach, there quotes the Od Yosef Chai, quotes the Keter Shem Tov. I actually tried to find these Truvas Trappers, though I couldn't find them. I will get them, please go on and send them to all of you. So he has an interesting idea over here, right? So I thought this is quite interesting because all of us daven Shmona Esrei, and everybody here is married, everybody wears a talis. So there is a strong argument over here to at least daven Shmona Esrei with a talis on.
So
we
could take our hats off so we can come out.
Take your hats off. Nowhere does it say take your hat off, by the way, but, right? If you're wearing a hat, I would say take your hat off, right? All right. Anyway, okay. That was something I thought was interesting. And we've got a tape measure as well. We'll see interesting sizes in a moment as well. It would be nice to actually do a test and see all our tzitzit and see the different sizes. But, I wish we had a bigger pair on than I normally wear. All right, let's carry on. It wasn't for the shear.
No.
I actually put it on after I learned the salochas on Shabbos. Today, I put on a bigger pair of tzitzit. Okay, let's carry on. So, Miyad, it can be back now on page 197, the proper position while putting on tzitzit. So, Shulchan Aruch here, the Tur Aruch Haim says, after you've washed, you tape your tzitzit, but you put it on, you're going to put it on standing. And then the Beit Yosef in Aruch Haim says, the timer, why? Mishum, he's got a Xer Shavi here, of Lachem Lachem from Sfirat HaOmer. Usvartem lachem b'mochrot b'yom Shabbat. It's Usvartem lachem b'yom Shabbat. Shema Shabbaton. Whatever, right? L'mochrot Shabbat. How's it go? Usvartem lachem b'mochrot Shabbat. Right? Shema Shabbat. Mochrot Shabbat. It's Usvartem lachem, and there it's ba'amida. You have to be standing up. So he says so too. Ba'amida says b'shvita omer dichtiv ba b'kama. Because the shvita omer is for the grains. The grains are b'kama. Let's play on the words over here, because the kama is actually referring to the wheat that's grown. But he's saying, so that's why he says over here, Peirush Bekoma. Okay? So it's a bit of a play on the words over here. Don't say Bakama, but say Bakoma. And therefore, it's a bit of a play on the words that you should be standing up. So here, the Rosh also says, rather you should be quoting, you should be standing up. Of the Gemara Tzotu, of the Koma Koma, of the Gemara. And then we can see the Rosh over here. He has the Rosh in Psachim. It says, Bechim Mevarchim, Mevarchim Umad. When you're making a brocha, you should stand up. Because you've got a brighter, but kama techelispor, you got to count of the Sfirat HaOmer talking about over there. I'll take you, but kama ele bakuma. So, and so the Shulchan Aruch brings a gzera shava from Pesach, from Omer, to tzitzit, making a brocha. Right now, the interesting thing is over here, is how do you do it? So he says over here, yit atef b'tzivu yivarech umat. So you wrap yourself in tzivu, so the mummy's standing up. And the Mishnah Berurah says that's just, okay, it's true that, because the Beit Yosef was on the cusp. So when the Beit Yosef wrote his Peirush, he wrote it as the last of the Rishonim, writing on the tour, bringing all the Rishonim before him. So he's writing as a Rishon, but he's mamash on the cusp. As far as the Piskei Halocha are concerned, the style of Halocha the Shulchan Aruch wrote is more of a style that's relevant to Achronim than to Rishonim. So it's that's what, like Rabbi Chia. Remember, Rabbi Chia sometimes an Amora, sometimes a Tana. Tana Rabbi Chia or Amar Rabbi Chia. So Beit Yosef as well. He was much on the cusp. Where do you see that, by the way?
Yeah, they
color code Rishonim blue. Wow, Beit Yosef is blue. Okay, interesting. Because he goes with the tour. Yeah, okay, fine. Shukran, excellent. All right. So that's Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah points out, interesting enough, that it's only a lechatchila, it's not a bedievet. So Mishnah Berurah says, "B'di'evet yatzah b'shtei mekol gavi'eva." If you put on tzitzit, big tzitzit, small tzitzit, sitting down, b'di'evet, it's okay. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a minhag of some svardim. We'll get to that. We get to tefillin. They make a brocha of tefillin. They do yad standing and rosh sitting. Have you seen that? They put on tefillin like that. Rosh tefillin shall yad sitting, standing. All do. Okay. I can't say all, but I'm seeing that such as such a minhag, and.
Rosh standing.
Rosh, no, I think that the Sfaradim do Rosh sitting.
No, they do the Rosh standing.
Oh, do they do Yad sitting and then get up for the Rosh?
The reason why I know, because I always say my legs are Sfaradim. That's why I sit down for both.
So your legs are Sfaradim, okay. All right. Okay, well, we have to run your legs then, there. Okay. Right, so now we see over here that for the bracha, what bracha makes? We make a bracha, shake shabbos, what does litatef betzitzit? What does litatef mean? Litatef means to wrap. So now we come to the sex subject we discussed it a couple of weeks ago about the atifa yishma'elit. Remember we discussed that? Like how the Arabs wrap themselves around. So if you look at an Arab, like he's got his kafi around his head and around his neck, like wrapped up, but just his eyes are sticking out, you know, that's atifa yishma'elit. Okay, so the question is, do we have to have atifa yishma'elit or not? Okay? So, here it appears that you're going to do atifa both for talit katan and talit gadol, which is a little bit difficult. Now, the tour here on Orach Chaim, the tour himself, and we'll see here why we go. Remember, I mentioned the case of the Shulchan Aruch. Adam was a jaz. I'll just say it very quickly. For you went to the Gemara Shir. In the Gemara Shir beforehand, we had a case. Well, I mentioned that Rav Baruch spoke about it today. That there are very few places where the Rav Avadia Yosef argues with the Shulchan Aruch. As far as he's concerned, the Shulchan Aruch is the Gan Lador Eretz Yisrael. We paskin like him on everything. Ashkenazi, he said Ashkenazi is fine. Everybody paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. He argues with him on a few places. One of them is on putting on tefillin in the morning on Tisha B'Av. That Ashkenazim don't put on tefillin. Shulchan Aruch says don't put on tefillin. Rabbi says they do put on tefillin, and they do put on tefillin. Right? Another place is in tzitzit. Much relevant to this day. They have Tisha B'Av and a tzitzit. So we've got both cases over here. Where you'll see in a moment, look here, Tur Orach Chaim says the following. Tur says, V'seder atifato, peshua go'onim ka'atifat yishma'elit she'atifa gemura. Proper wrapping around. Uvala itur. Remember, we learned about the itur, right? We had the itur in a couple of shirim ago. We saw the itur was the original that was Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Mari, right? Also a French guy in the 1100s. So he says over here that the itur cut up the law bin akula. We don't need to have our wrap around properly like the Shishmaelim. Elekederich bin Adam, just like people should be kansim b'ksutan v'oskim v'lachtan. People who get dressed in a normal fashion. Pabim b'kisu aros, pabim b'gilu aros. Sometimes your head's covered, sometimes aren't. We're wearing clothes now today. Our heads aren't covered. If it's a cold and it's raining, we're wearing coat, our head's covered, right? Whatever the case is. Either that's the place. So now there's a machloket over here between the Goonim, right? And we're going to see it in a moment, right? And the Itur. Oh, we already just saw it now. Sorry. Piresh Pishua Goonim. Sorry. This was the two quoted. The Kukras is the Goonim, right? Who are the Goonim? The Goonim were, as a rule, the Goonim lived between the 600s and the year 1000, let's say. I think Rabbi Chanel was on the last of the Goonim. Rabbi Chanel lived in about just over in the 1000, the year 1000, whatever. Right? And they were, as a rule, again, the heads of the two Batei Midrash in Bavel, the main ones, Sura and Pumpedita. There's lots of shiurim that you can hear stuff online. There's amazing stuff on the Gaonim. So Gaon was a title. Today we use the word as a Gaon as a genius. The Vilna Gaon is a genius. The Gaon, as a rule, was called a title. If you were a Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel, you were called Gaon. Your second name was Gaon. Lance Gaon. Doesn't matter if you were Gaon or you weren't a Gaon. And then there were three people involved in choosing who the Gaonim were. There were the two heads of Pumsur and Pumadita and the Reish Galuta. He was like more political appointment. And they did it as to keep a balance between them. Because a lot of problems in all over Jewish history, those few hundred years in Bavel. And then you'd have to have two out of three have to vote. So the retiring Gaon, let's assume he hadn't died yet, right? Or if he had died, the Talmidim, the Beit Midrash, and the other Gaon and the Reish Galuta have to all agree. There's the famous Rav Chai Gaon. Remember Acha Gaon? Rav Acha Gaon wasn't a Gaon. He wrote the She'iltot. Now we discussed it before, the She'iltot. The She'iltot was the first Sefer published or written. It wasn't published, written after the closing of the Gemara. Well, the She'iltot was written by Rav Chai Gaon. And Rav Chai Gaon, in the end, he wasn't made a Gaon because of politics or Rashkul, and he left Bavel and came to Israel. Remember, the Netziv wrote a famous Sefer. He made it famous called the Amek She'iltot. Right, and that's written according to all the questions that he actually wrote. The questions, he's calling it, doesn't matter. But he was a Gaon, but without a question, probably the Gadol HaDor in Bavel, he wasn't made a Gaon. So they weren't always the cleverest guys, and often they knew what they were doing. But as a rule, the Gaonim's job was to answer questions. They would get questions sent from all over the world, and that's how they survived, by the way. People would send them with a check. They'd send a Shiloh to Bavel with the money, and that's how they funded the yeshivas. The whole world funded Bavel. They were the center of learning. So the Gaonim is a period. So the Gaonim, so here says the tour, the Gaonim say that you have to atifat Yishma'elim. And the Balaitur, who he lived in the 1200s, right, late 1100s, 1100 in the 12th century, 200 years after the Gaonim, he argued and said, no, you have to do it. So now it comes along the Beit Yosef. He says, Nirah she'ta'amah mid'mevarchina li'tavitzit. He says, it makes sense. Then what's their reason? Because it says, li'tateif betzitzit. You have to have atifah. And atifah means like the Goanim say. Like the Ishmaeli. He quotes from the Goanim Brachot. Alma ituf b'din ituf. Shmuel says, there, kol atifah she'enu akitiv al-Ishmaeli. And atifah. And Machmei Rav, Nachman, I'll go back again. Rav Nachman points out an example. So it seems like there's a lot to rely on here, says the Beit Yosef. The Goanim aren't just start making this up. He says, Nira Eva, She Tamo. He's talking here about the Balaitur. Right? He says, yeah, the Balaitur, he says, from the fact that the Parag Megalchin, in the Gemoy Kredim Katan, the Rav Palik El Shmuel. Rav argues with Shmuel. Now, we said in the Daf today as well. We learned this afternoon, this evening, right? And when it comes to Isurim, it's a very important clause, a very important principle in Halakha. When you've got an argument between Rav and Shmuel in that generation, if it's something which is an Isur, like it's Asur or Mutar, the Halakha is always as a rule like Rav. When it comes to dinei mamonot, monetary matters, the Halakha is like Shmuel. This is clearly not a monetary matter. Maybe it might involve buying more clothes, but not a monetary matter, right? So therefore, he says, Avi, the Balitru, what are you talking about? The Machlok in the Gemara, Rav Shmuel. And that's why, even though you might be right that it might, that the Gemara might mention Atifa, but now it's Shmuel and Rav Ogzul Shmuel, Umash for the Shvir Lei, Dafid Arosh, Apabish, and Ketifir Ashmaelim, have Atifa, and if they have a full volume Atifa, the Kaimelan to be Surah, yes, it's Avia, the Kaimelan to be Surah, Halacha, Karav, the Gabe Shmuel. Well, the Tur actually says those words. Look in the Tur, there on number 6 there in the Hebrew. Yeah. I read it. Pa'amim b'kisui ha'rosh, u'pa'amim b'gilui ha'rosh. No, what he means b'gilui ha'rosh, that your cloak isn't covering your head. Sometimes you have clothing which covers your head, and sometimes you have clothing which doesn't cover. That's why I said in winter you get a raincoat, it covers your head. I don't think it means they weren't wearing a hat. I don't think it means that they're walking around Begilui Rosh. It's the clothing on the cloth itself. Kederek ben adam shemit kantzin biksut satan voskim belachtan. I understand what you're saying, Robin. Yeah, you know, interesting. I never thought about it that way. You know what? I concede. Reading it now, I pigeonholed it more than it might be. Maybe you're right. Okay, let's go. Which is an interesting question, though, because there's no way in the Gemara aloch of covering your hair. There's no place in the Gemara where it says that the man should cover his hair.
I was going to ask you the further question, even more radical question. There's nothing about putting on tzitzit unless you've got corners on your beged.
Right. We discussed that. We discussed it in the previous shiurim.
The problem about how you cover and how you wrap yourself, it all seems to be peripheral, because why is it so important? You don't even have to put on tzitzit.
If you've got tzitzit, though.
No, you don't have four corners.
If you've got one, you've got four corner garment now, it's got tzitzit. How do you make a brocha? Do you wrap it around your head and cover your head and your eyes and your face like a Yishmaeli? Or you just stick it over your shoulders? Or we're going to get to the best part. You're going to love this. Your famous scarf story with the rabbis wearing scarves. All right. So Rabbi Agadol says, Avelut. He says, where does this come from with regards to Avelut? This Atifat Yishmaelim is an Avelut issue. With regards to Tzitzit, when you're wearing a garment that you cover up with Tzitzit, he says, don't get carried away, says the Mahari Abu Hav. This is a Spanish posek in the 1400s. Don't carry it away. He says it's not like what the Goanim are talking about. That's with regards to Aveilut. And there is a separate din, by the way. In Aveil, Shulchan Aruch says, in Aveil, you're going to wrap yourself up. Litatef. You see the Taimanim sitting in Talasim. Any of you have been to a Taimani Shiva? They sit on the floor wrapped up in a talus over their head. Have you ever seen it? Huh?
In Beit Kfarot, they wear a
talus. Even the men stuck to sit in there. The Shulchan will get to it. You shouldn't walk out there, because that's a case of... I've just slipped my mind. Here. All right. So now, what? Of Lo Eglarash, where you're basically a poor guy and you're acting in front of you saying, look, I'm wearing tzitzit. He's lying in the cavern. He can't do mitzvahs. So that's a separate issue altogether. Okay, but Rabbeinu Agadol, so we saw that. So now the question is, a whole chakir of here. We'll skip over the bottom line. Shulchan Aruch paskas like the itun. So you don't have to do a proper wraparound, right? And it's interesting to see how the halacha is. Look at the actual halacha, how we sit in the Shulchan Aruch. Seder atifato kederech ben adam shmitkasim. I'm reading out on page 200.9 there, which says Shulchan Aruch Orachaim 8.2. In Hebrew, it's got nine of this. It's a seder of tifato, like the guy who wraps himself in his clothes and to work. Pa'amim mekisui harosh. See, sometimes he covers his head with the clothes. Pa'amim begilui harosh. And sometimes without clothes, with his head uncovered. And he says, however, v'nachon shiyechaseh rosho, but you should do it anyhow. So he accepts the itur against the Gaonim, but he says, they're not going to do it though, just, you know, to cover your head. Big question, why? Right? So look at the Mishnah Berurah here on that. Mishnah Berurah on that says, like this, even though we use the bracha, we say that you have to wrap. Have ituf. Covering your body actually is also called itur, and your body is more important than your head. Okay, then I'm leaving. I was going to Omer Rachim. Okay, so that is the Ikar, which is interesting. That says, yeah, since the halacha is because of the Itur, the reason for the Shulchan Aruch is actually to cover one's head, the Tana seems to be a different reason. Ah, he mentions that here, right? So why does the Shulchan Aruch say cover your head nonetheless? So that's where we started the Shir. So there, because the Kisru is to cause you at Shamayim and to humble you and to make you much more modest. And then we got into the issue over here of whether you should or shouldn't cover your head. And I think the takeaway for me from this Shir is, at the least a person should do every single day is daven Shmona Esrei with their head covered with a talis. Not a davening, not that, but to at least cover their head for Shmona Esrei and then take it off. Okay. Now, the tour. So we look at the bottom here. Why are you making the brocha to put it on? It says on 13, V'derech atifa, how do you do it? Machzir shtei tzitziot lefanav, you have two in front of you, and two behind you, shem mesuvav be mitzvahs, it should be covered by mitzvahs, umechaser shon cover your head, so you have a gilu arosh, ve'yevarech tev, then cover your head. And there's the YouTube video, which I'll send out later, and you can all watch it, it's from Chabad.org, and actually a very nice explanation, almost halacha lemaaseh, you see clearly, yeah, and then he takes it, you've got to see a guy there standing there, holding the tzitzit, throwing it around, it's actually very, very, very well done. Start from minute 2.3, you don't have to watch the whole thing, start from minute 2.3, okay. So now, we saw the Shulchan Aruch, so you wrap your head around, right? But Ativa Yishuvah is not necessary. In the Pesachet Shivas, right, said many Achronim still say you should do this for Kabbalistic reasons. Look at the second verse, chapter, Pesach 14, purple there, 14, Pesachet Shivas. He says, Mina Gishrael Midurei Adorot Lasot Ativat Yishuvahim Lachar Abrachat, to wrap around like Arabs do. Ubekitvei Ha'arizal, his beer, Shnachon Haminag Mo'od. It's a great minag. That's where you fill the mitzvah of the Gaonim. Shetzarich adifa gemura, proper wrapping around. V'hagav Yishmalim lezman mu'at keshir hiluch dal amal. At least for four, that now to take you to walk 2 meters. How long is that take you to walk 2 meters?
1, 2, 3 seconds.
So like for 3 seconds, you should keep it on you after you made the brocha. Right? On the psukim, okay. So I don't know anything about that psukim. I don't do that. No, you do that. In the siddur, it tells you the psukim that you say. Okay, so in the currency he's got over here that nohagin after brocha you wrap in, and then while you wrapped up you say, and this he quotes on the siddur of the shla of the shaluchot abrit of Horovitz. He says maya kar chaz dechalim v'nei adam b'tzakel v'chichasyun. Yirvuyun mideshem betecha v'dachal adnem teshkeim ki imcha mekor chayim b'orcha nir'eor meshochaz decha liyodecha v'tzidkatcha liyishrei leiv. Okay, very nice. I've never said Yimalach. Huh? So Robin asked a question that this whole idea of atifat yishmarim, why are we looking to the goyim to see how to do mitzvahs? So I think that the practical reason is because they still dress the way we dressed in those days. We don't dress like we've westernized. And the Ishmaelim haven't westernized as much. So if we want to look to see what Chazal did in the time of when the brochas were created, the people who are still dressing that way are the ones we look to. So we're actually saying, not because it's the Ishmaelim, but because what the Ishmaelim are doing is we were once dressed like Ishmaelim. When they made the brocha, the word hit atef meant, look, here's a living example, like that's a museum piece, so to speak. You know, I think that's the answer. Okay, let's go. So now, he says, okay, kisses the covering of the head, etc., during the davening. The Pesach Teshuvah is quite a result. Now, they summarize over here by saying as follows. that the practice of Hatifas, we discussed the fact, been understood easily with respect to putting on a talis which is large enough to allow for this. But how does one put on talis katan? Because the Shulchan Aruch seemed to make no difference between talis katan and a big talis. So we understand the big talis, how do a small talis? And here the Shulchan Aruch says over here, on Orach Chaim Chet, Gimel Adar, on page 203 at the top. Talitot tanim, you can't do ituf, you can still yotze with them. However, he says, "V'tov laniach oto arosho rochvo lekomato l'tepo." You should still wrap it. You should do some sort of ituf when you're wrapping the tzitzit in the morning before you put it on. Now, I don't even think for us it's so relevant because all of us here put on a talis. We make our brocha on the talis. We don't make a brocha on the tzitzit. I think this is more a case of if you were making the brocha on tzitzit, then how you would do it, right? The amod kach meutaf lefachot kne hiluch arba amod v'achar kach yimshachenu me'arosho v'yobeshenu.
Let's say you take that in the afternoon. You take your tzitzit, you put it on 2 hours later.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm married, or like Robert said, good point. If you go to sleep in the afternoon for 2 hours, you can switch it off. You put it back on. You have to make a brocha. Then yes, you're right. You're right, 100%. You're right. You've been right a lot today. Okay. Don't get used to that. What?
If you have intention of putting it back, if you take your
talis. Okay. Well, not so fast. We're gonna get to that. There's some chidushim coming up on that one day. Wait. Okay. Again, you put two in the front, two in the back. So now he says over here in the summaries of it, he says, in the Shulchan Aruch, the common practice is not to perform matifa when doing tzitzit. He says, as a rule, we don't. Right? As a rule, even the Shulchan Aruch does it. Piskei Tshuvas, which don't bring over here, but the Piskei Tshuvas over here, quotes, we don't do it. It's not our minag at all. Right? Also because it's very difficult to do it. Right? However, the question is, what bracha do you make? So the Shulchan Aruch still says, look at Shulchan Aruch 16, Al talit katan yachol levech litatef. Af mishainu mitatef, ele lov shoh. Even though you don't do it, you still make the brocha litatef. However, the Ramah says, Ashkenazim, v'yesh omrim shmevarchin alav al mitzvah tzitzit, v'chei nuagim v'ene shanot. And when Amin Agid, if you're going to make a mitzvah, a brocha on tzitzit katan, you say al mitzvah tzitzit. When you put a talis on, litatef. The Shulchan Aruch says you make the same brocha on both. Okay? So, the question now is, what if you couldn't make a brocha, right? Im lof shor talit katan b'od she'ein yadav nigvat. If you put on tzitzit before you vast in the morning, you couldn't make a brocha. I'm reading now 17 on page 204. So it says, the Shulchan says, you'll be shelling, you put up without a brocha. Remember I said in the Morish here, I said we're going to come to the idea of your mashmash as well. We saw there with the sukkah, if the schach, old schach, you move it around, you shake the schach to make a brocha. Selling the tzitzit, if the talit's on you, because normally you've got a principle, brachot over siatan. You make a brocha and then you do the action. So what do you put the tzitzit on before? Because you weren't vast, you were in a walk, you couldn't work out any clothes. You put the tzitzit on and now you've vast, can you make a brocha afterwards? So that we have told Yadav after you vast, you mashmesh but tzitzit, move the tzitzit around a bit, so you're like shaking them around a bit, right? And then put in another talis, you make a brocha then, etc. Okay. So now, where's my father? Daddy?
Yeah.
No, now comes the question here about Hesech HaDa'at. So the famous question now, you're wearing talis, you want to go to the bathroom. You take the talis off, and you're going to then come out of the bathroom and put it back on. Do you have to make another brocha or not? You're davening Shmona Esrei. Let's say you've got like these talesi which are very slippery. Right? So Adam nods his head no, like my father. Okay? It's good to have an opinion, right? It's good to believe in. It's good to take sides. Right? You've learned it, okay? And he's learned it. Okay, so you've got a few as we must have a mincha. Do you put like a brocha regular, don't you? Okay, all good questions. Let's see. So now, the Shulchan Aruch is like this. Wait, before you put on tzitzit, your talis, 18 there on page 205, separate the strings, and then have kavona, but then you make the tzitzit on that, you have a kavona to wrap yourself up, that you can remember all the mitzvah. That's what tzitzit is about. And then, korem sheyavarech, before you make the brocha, ya'ayin b'chutetz, look at the tzitzit, to make sure they're all kosher. Why? Kedei shelo yavarech levatala. She doesn't come back a brocha levatala. That's why the Badi Yosef has grounds for disagreeing with the Mechaber. We'll see in a moment where he says you don't make another brocha because he's concerned of the bracha levatala. We'll come there in a second. Okay, Mishnah Berurah as follows. You should in the morning wrap your, take your tzitzit out, put it over your shoulder, play around with things, separate the strings, check them all, count them all. We rely to a large extent on chazakah. Right, if your tzitzit was good yesterday, you put it in the talis bag yesterday morning, you know it should be good this morning. Okay, well, some guys don't have a tallis bag and they carry it around in a packet or in their hand, or the case was, usually catch on the door, catch on the chair, it might not be so simple. But a chazok, I would say, if you put your tallis every day into a tallis bag and you checked it once, you don't have to check it every day. But we'll see. That's my opinion. I'm not sure it's right. But yeah. Okay. Why? Because if you don't check, you might have a problem. Right? Right. The Mishnah Berurah says, Mikol makom, mukmeilei achzakatei shakashen zachazok et kosha, rak mishum chomer delo tisa sheesh al bracha levatla echmiru lebatko. So why do we check? So you don't make a brocha levatla. We're more concerned about the brocha levatla. There's a chazok et kosha. If there was a mistake, you're going to make your brochel avatala. V'lachen shirich livdok b'chol yom b'boker k'loshan, v'az af sheisiran v'siach da'ato mihem, afilu hachi ein tzirich lachzul livdok. There's man muyach kaze en ragel. Mishnah Berurah says every day check. If you go into the bathroom, you put it back in afterwards, you have to worry then, because in such a short space of time, nothing's going to happen. Okay. It's not moving over here. So ever b'boker, he said, even da b'dika yit batel mikfil b'tzibur. He said, even if, he says, ever, in the morning, if you're going to end up missing davening with a tzibur, or you get an aliyah to the Torah and you never had a chance to check, right? Then you don't have to worry, because who she odash are you, hachutin, shleim, epoch, you are yechle, we're good. So there's a chazoka, we carry a lot of the chazoka, but still don't, the chazoka are the brochas, right? That's what he says. Yaakov Yosef says, this is now, Yaakov Yosef, Yitzchak Yosef, Avad Yosef's son, pasling halocha, begadol, according to his father. So al tit chadashah, mevarchin, birkat, shechianu, varchin, according to the tzitzit, she feels like a brocha, and then you make shechianu. And there's no chashash of a hefsek. He says, right, in Yashuin Dafka im Kanat, on a big talis you make a shechianu, not on a small talis, on tzitzit. He says, Aminak she'ed levarchin al talit katan. That's what the Yaakov Yosef says. And there's an interesting comment at the bottom from the editors of this volume, I BS. The reason for the reading is that many individuals no longer research shechianu upon purchasing any new clothing, since it does not provide a person with the same level of joy that it may have provided in earlier times, because we're much more affluent, etc. So today, I think, if you wear a shirt, you don't make a shechianu in a new shirt or a t-shirt. I don't think so. If you wear a jacket, a new pair of a suit, or whatever the case is, you make a shechianu. A new talis, but you make a shechianu. Right, now, tur. Now comes the interesting question now about do you or don't you make another brocha. So here's the tur, and this is the source of all our problems, the source of our uncertainty, because the tur himself is uncertain. Look at the tur. It says, "Im pashat talito, you took off your talis, you weren't going to put it back on immediately." Listen to the lashon. Immediately, not get in the toilet. Immediately, miad. Keshechozer ulofsho tzarich levarech. When you put it back on again, you have to make another brocha. Right? Aval ima yadato ulofsho miyad. If your intention was to wear it immediately, kegon shepashatoto kedadi kereso lakisei. If you were taking it off to go to the toilet and you plan on putting it back on straight after the toilet, baze ani mistapek, says the tour. Well, there I've got in doubt. I'm not sure. Im tzarich levarech. Do you or don't you? Sheyesh panim lechan ulechan. There's arguments in both sides. Deke lemeimar. Why? One of the reasons we could say is kavan d'alfinan kol ha'torah mitfilin, levarech tfilin. And listen to this. When it comes to tfilin, this is amazing halacha. Tfilin kol eimat memashmesh ba'hu mevarech. Every time you push it from out the side, if you touch it, it goes out the way. You put it back, but it's brocha. Maybe it's tzitzit as well. Or get to tfilin. Right, Pirush. Im zazum im koman, umemashmesh ben lahachzran im koman. If it moves out the way, like you know, often you see guys, I do it often, you move your tefillin in a bit into place. According to the Tzidonek Abrocha. Right? Im kain kol shechen hachashmesh, how much, then if that's the case, with tzitzit, how much more so you should make a brocha? Why? Because you're taking it off. With tefillin, you never took it off. It just moved to the side. That's one argument that you should make a brocha. Mihu, however, yesh lo ma'yu, because the other side, the sha'ani hatam is different there. Why? Shezazu mim koman velo yada shelo hayu mukan. There you never knew it wasn't in the right place. So you could never really had intention, I'll put it in the wrong place for a second, you scratch man, I'm going to put it back in the right place. It went to the wrong place. So it was a complete hezek adat. We're here. Imeziz mim koman adat anachshon. You had intention to put it back on. Yeah, sorry, if the tefillin went early and you moved it to put it back on, you make a brocha, maybe he had a tzitzit as well. Hatamnami lo hayutzich levarech, but letzedet da'ati note. Therefore, he too seems to say that I'm inclined to accept the second opinion, you don't have to make a brocha, but I'm not sure.
What did he do?
I don't know. He wasn't sure. He made sure never to take it off. I don't know. There's a lot of people coming up over here. So we see over here the Beit Yosef, well, the debate wasn't brought here. It's only brought here in a summary form. But the Beit Yosef concludes on this tour over here that he doesn't draw the line between tefillin. There's no distinction between tefillin and tzitzit. Exactly the same deal. Because the Gemara in Sukkah says if you remove one's tefillin, you have to make another brocha. right? Even if you intend on taking them off. So the Beit Yosef says, so too the rule shall apply to tzitzit. The agur, right? The agur, by the way, I don't think we've actually seen the agur before. Yaakov Baruch Ashkenazi Landau. Right? He was actually expelled from Spain. He started in Spain, ended up he went via Portugal. I remember where he died, in Castile. Where's Castile? He came from Castile, I think.
Yeah, it's
he came from Castile in Spain. He went through Portugal. I don't know, he ended up dying. I don't know where he died, but I don't know where he died. But he lived through the Girush, right? He writes over there, he says, Agus says that in-between approach. See, when tzitzit are still on, one would not recite another bracha when removing a talis, if you've got tzitzit, small tzitzit on. Because then, like, you've still got some connection to tzitzit, right? And I don't know if it's not wearing tzitzit, then you would make another bracha. The Shulchan Aruch, look at the Shulchan Aruch now, 22. In Pashat, if you took your tzitzit off, afilu haya adato lachzor, even if you intention to put it back on, tzarich levarech kesheyachzor b'tev bo. Shulchan Aruch says, you go to the toilet, you make a brocha. Now here the Beit Yosef paskens against the Shulchan Aruch because of a safek brochot laka. Right? The Yesh Omrim, and the Ramah says, she'ein mevarech haya adato lachzor b'tev bo. Right, that's Ashkenazim. So there, Adam, you're right in what you learned so far, right? Right, okay, the Ramah, however, look at the Ramah, the Yesh Omrim, Dafka Keshedishar Alav Talit Katan, only if you went tzitzit, then you don't make a brocha again. He holds like the Agur, the Hachi Nohagin. The Ramah says, that's how we pasket. So now, the Mishnah Brura, look here, they quote the Mishnah Brura, not brought in the text. Rules that accept the halacha is that no brocha is recited if one did not lose his mental focus. And the Ramah's point concerning the talit katan applies only where one removes the talit without intent to wear it again. So in other words, the Mishnah Brura is saying that the Ramah's concept of wearing your talit doesn't apply if you go to the toilet. If you go to the toilet, you don't have to make a brocha again because you intended to put it back on. The Ramah's point of not making a brocha would mean in another situation, let's say you went to sleep and you took off your big talit. Okay, if you had your small talis back on you still, you wouldn't make a new bracha with your big talis on. A little on in a second, right? In this case, we'll still not recite another bracha later if one was wearing tzitzit. Similarly, the Mishnah Berurah adds, if one removed the talis with intent to put it on much later. Yeah, Daddy, here's your question. Between, on Yom Kippur, between Musaf and Mincha, right? One must recite another bracha since when one removes it, one is considered to have Hesech HaDa'at. So you can't wait so long. And long over here, I think, is about 2 hours. I think I saw a note there somewhere. So according to that, Shulchan Aruch holds that one mashal another brocha would argue that one mashal another brocha even without hesech hadaat. The Yalkut Yosef, the Shabbat Yosef, he writes, even in practice, even Sfaradim should not try to brocha, since this is the case of Safek Brachot Lahakel. One applies the principle of Safek Brachot, not trying a brocha. Even the Shulchan Aruch rules that one does try a brocha, right? This is one of the examples I said that the Rabbi Yosef argues with the Shulchan Aruch. This is in the Yalkut Yosef, and then we saw it. Now what about when the talus falls off? Because yeah, you definitely never planned it to fall off, right? So now it falls off. Shulchan Aruch. Im nafla talito shlo mitkamen. 24. If it falls without your intention, v'chozer, you put it back on again, tzarich levarech. V'ush nafla, let's say the whole talis falls off. Im lo nafla kula, af bish nafla ruba, eno tzarich levarech. Only a part of it falls off, you don't have to put it off. Right? Now, interesting, often it happens, this is mamash halacha lemaaseh, you're davening shmonash, right? And your talis falls off. And somebody else, a nice guy, picks it up for you and puts it back on you. Now, normally you make a bracha before you put it back on. Now, it's really on you. Now, what do you do? So now, look, what if someone else puts it on you? So it says over here, look at Mishnah Berurah 25. Afirim lov shov im nafal imeru b'emtzit kat shmonasha. That's what, evahich ziruhu acherim alav, and someone else put it on you, kishe yisayim tzat shmonasha im yemashmesh, but tzitivay, play around with the tzitivay to make another bracha again. Okay, Yalkut Yosef says again, if it only falls off properly, right, then you put it. He says no, the Yaakov just says if I flatter me, I love. If you don't flatter, gamer, he says you never make a brocha. Evi says there are some people who say if it falls off in the middle of Shmona Asher and someone's out on you, then you can play around with it and make a brocha. He says that as we concern, we don't make a brocha. Say as svardim are very machmir not to make another brocha. Okay, now we're going to the last halacha here for the night, and that is the size of the tzitzit. So we discussed up until now everything, what the materials are made from, right, where, the four corners, how you do the knots, the whole story, what brochas you make, how you wrap it, how you do the whole story. Now we're actually talking, what is it you're putting on you? So when it comes to tzitzit, In the Masechet Menachem, where all these luchos come from in the Gemara, says talit katan mit kasebo. We want a talis that at least a kid could cover his head, rosho, v'rubo, most of his body. And a gadol might sometimes take that clothing and walk outside into the shuk wearing it. Are they two halachas? Are they two conditions? Are they the same condition? It's a machloket. But the Orech Chaim says as follows. The tour says like this. The tour says, because katan ben teisha shanim, a 9-year-old kid, could cover his whole body and his head in. His head and whole body in. Right? And an adult wouldn't be embarrassed to walk out just like haphazard into the market. If a kid can't cover his whole body and his whole head on it, right? Even though that a guy would, you would still go out of the market because it's a small scarf, whatever, you pat it from tzitzit. Okay? So the Beit Yosef quotes the Mahari ben Chaviv. Okay? So the Mahari ben Chaviv, he lived in Salonika, actually. He was from Salonika, he was from Castilia, right? The other guy I mentioned, right? The Agur. He's from Salonika, right? He also lived in Spain, by the way. Actually, maybe I might get confused, you know? The Agur might have been Spanish altogether. And I normally write these things down, but I didn't. I think that the Mahari ben Chaviv, he's the one that lived throughout in the late 1400s. He's the one that was exiled. I'm confused. He's the guy. This is the Mahari ben Chaviv. He was exiled. He went out of Spanish expulsion. So he says like this, that based upon the Rambam, it's only one condition, not two conditions, a small, that a kid can cover himself and you'd walk out. It's only one condition, that a child can cover his body and his head. Right? And the second criteria says, just to explain the first one. So it's basically more than an explanation. Look over here. The Shugar, skip the base of Gadol Shulchan Aruch. Shi'ur talit shechayav betzitzit. What's the size of talit you need tzitzit? She'it kaseh ba ba'orech uverochav roshov v'rubo shel katan. It has to cover the head and most of the body of a katan, length and breadth. Hamit alech levado bashuk, a kid who's old enough to walk in the marketplace. Ve'eino tzarich achel shomer. So this is about a 10-year-old, I would imagine, right? At least a 10-year-old. In Israel, you know, it could be a 6-year-old. But I mean, you know, that could be pretty young. The Ramah says, Va'az chaya betzitzit, ve'davke she'agadu lovsho pa'amim arai, the Ramah adds in that other point, by the way, he argued a little bit on the Mahari ben Chaviv. He says, but it's only when Dafka that a gadol would also wear it outside. Right? So now the Mishnah Berurah gets practical, much practical. Mishnah is like this. Uba'inan 31 on page 213. Uba'inan shiur shor, what is this measure of your body and most of your body in your head? Uminag anshei maase. So now anshei maase, what's the English translation? Like good guys. How do they translate it? The custom of pious individuals. In other words, you want to do halacha properly, which is like all of us. Right? Ledakdek shebo ama milfanav ama milachorav. Should be one ama, half a meter, 48 centimeters. So this is 48 centimeters. Not so big. That's 48 centimeters. You see that? That's 48 centimeters. That's an ama. Now if you take these tzitzit, you hold it there, and hold it there, it's more than 48 centimeters.
Well, I thought it was ama the other
direction. No, and that way. Ama that way, and ama that way. So yeah, it's definitely an ama that way, and ama that way. So these are pretty decent. My other ones that I normally wear, I think, are a little bit smaller. So probably don't wear those anymore. Right? So that is 48 centimeters. That's what he says. There are a few less repetitive. You go to Piskei Tshuvas over the page, says like this. If you want to be Yotze all the days of Tzitzit, right? He says, Shul Tari Katan Lefi Midot Tzmanenut in our day, Yakpid Al Orech Baroche, 58 of 58 centimeters. That's the bigger size of 48. Now, because the Rav Chaim Na'eh is 48. There's more Machmir sizes. Go to 58. I think it's also 58. V'chein Chaim Shalom Fetzitirit Achorav, behind you as well. V'nachon Lo Sif Katzat, make it 60. Al 60. So ever, V'hamekel B'shush of 44 centimeters Orech, on four sides. 44 by 58. Right, so he says 44 length on both sides and 58 length and 54 and 58 width. You can make a brocha. You can wear it, he says, but without a brocha. You'll be shenu below brocha. End of over here.